a standing invitation from God to any who will come to Him. But it is more than an invitation. It is an urgent call to a serious faith. God is saying, listen, this is not like you're being invited over to dinner. You're being invited to share eternity with me. You take that or you leave that. But this is the invitation. God always, without exception, is the initiator of salvation.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please join us as we study the book of 2 Thessalonians, verse by verse. Today, Pastor Rick tells us that God is always the initiator of salvation. We can't stumble into it. When the offer is submitted, the choice has to be made, the kingdom of self or the kingdom of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit through the gospel that captures our attention, but then it's our job to place our faith in Christ and accept the invitation. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, as we join Pastor Rick.
You came. And when you came to me, I put you on the plane or on the track that I have for my son. That's called predestination. You choose to go buy a ticket to fly somewhere. That flight that you get on is predestined to go to your destination because you chose it. There's nothing mystical in this, or secret or arcane or anything like that. And yeah, I know I get upset when I get on this because so many people fall for this nonsense, and I don't know if you're like me in that regard. I get it bothered. I know you are. You watch people fall for some of the lies that come out of Washington, D.C., and it irritates you that somebody would be so gullible and foolish and biased to believe these things. And so humans must choose to accept or reject Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. It's very clear language. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Peter says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Everything with God is foreknowledge, first of all. Continues. In sanctification of the Spirit, being set aside. God knew this was going to happen. For obedience and sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Foreknowledge is knowing what is going to go on or happen, but not necessarily causing it. And so, God in foreknowledge, he knows ahead of time, before anything, before I ever existed, what I would do when presented with the gospel. But he did not cause it. He may have influenced it, as he did with the Apostle Paul, as he did with Jonah. But he does not force it. Here's what Spurgeon says on the thought, Charles Spurgeon. He never uses force. He conquers only by love. The Holy Spirit works upon the will of man, but he leaves it still a will, a choice. I would not have to go through all of this if these other doctrines did not exist. And the church is infested with this teaching. It's emotionalism under the veil of intellectualism. I'm very smart, you can't figure this out, so listen to me. And the universities or the seminaries, they love teaching this. And men who like to hear themselves talk love talking about it. There are more books on this. I'd rather write commentaries or read commentaries than read about man-made doctrines. Okay, well, we go back to this. Simply put, we do not surprise God when we receive his salvation. He already knew it was happening. We are surprised, but it is our choice. God treats us as intelligent beings. Otherwise, judgment would be a mockery of everything that is right and fair. And so he says through sanctification. Now, sanctification, two parts to sanctification. When you are born again, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you come to the cross, you say, Lord, you died in my place, to take the punishment for my sin. And you rose again to demonstrate you have the power to do this. And you are at the right hand of the Father because you are his son, equal with the Father. And I am yours. At that moment, you are separated from judgment, the judgment that is coming upon those who have not made that confession. But then the second part of sanctification is the development, the likeness of Jesus Christ, moving on the path to be like him. So we have salvation and development. We have position and practice. My position with him changes when I come to him and am saved, and then my practice in life then follows the biblical patterns. So when he says through sanctification, God chose you through these processes, and all you can say is thank you, Lord. And now he says by the Spirit. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to make God's truth plain to us. As I'm speaking right now, anything that I'm saying that comes from God, he is the one that's put it there. And not only did he put it in my head and through my mouth at this moment, but he's processing it in your head. So you can either say, I agree or I disagree. Let's go to the scripture. The Gospels. The Gospels were written under the teaching of the Holy Spirit. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus promised. Before the Gospels were written, he promised to his disciples. He says, but the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit. He says it here. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Well, that's the Gospels. When those men sat down to write the story of Jesus Christ, it was the Holy Spirit bringing to their remembrance the things that he had said and done in their presence. Then there is the book of Acts. God claims responsibility for that too. It is everything that happened after Jesus ascended to heaven. What happened to the church after the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension? Well, the book of Acts tells us the acts of the Holy Spirit upon the lives of the believers, which came acts of the believers. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And so there we see the foundation of the book of Acts. Then there are the epistles, the letters, which the New Testament is largely made up, from the letter of Romans all the way to the last letter, postcard of Jude. The Holy Spirit says this about Jesus speaking, John 16, 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I have much to teach you. You know, Jesus said things before the church existed that had the church in mind, but also the Jews who knew nothing about the church. And that required development. And it did develop. That's what the apostles were assigned to do. And so when you read the New Testament and you hear Jesus speaking about certain things, they do not apply. When Jesus said, when you pray, pray to the Father this way. And we pray to the Father, but that's not the whole story. You can pray directly to Jesus Christ. The apostles did. There's nothing wrong with that. But you couldn't say that. You really couldn't have that going on during the time that he walked. The Jews would not have been able to receive that. He phased it in for them. And so we have then the book of Revelation. This is what Jesus says about its foundation. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And so when he says, Paul here in verse 13, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. And we are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. These processes at work, the Gospels, the book of Acts, New Testament history, the letters, New Testament precept, and then the revelation, New Testament future history or program. You come here at Christmas for the Christmas service, you get a program. It tells you what's coming. Well, that's what the book of Revelation is. It's a program. It tells us what's coming. And then he says here in verse 13, and belief in the truth, clearly stated, One has to believe. That is choice. You hear it, you choose to take it or not. No way around these words in any language. Belief in the truth is an exercise of free will. We are free to choose God or we are free to reject Him. We're not robots. And by faith, we obey and we receive. Not convenience, not feeling, by faith. When we get to Hebrews chapter 11 and we read, by faith, this one did that, and by faith, that one, we are impressed by it because we can identify with it. That's me. I was in that spot. That's what I want to do. That is the right way to handle it because that's what God has put in my heart. Ecclesiastes tells us that God has put eternity in our hearts, the ability to receive from Him. John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 17. If anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. So when Paul says, through belief in the truth, all of these things are connected. And Paul's delight was in their choice to believe and to receive God, and God makes Himself available to those who come. The church is supposed to be the single most serious entity on the planet. We are the pillar and the ground of truth. What goes on in the church has everything to do with God and eternity. And if it is outside of His will, then it has everything to do with Satan and eternity. It is up to that congregation. You go to a church that does not honor God's word, get out of there. It's not a church. It's an imposter. It's corrupted. It's a booby trap. Verse 14. I hope I made myself clear. I think about how close I came to going to hell because of people who said they were Christians and were not. Cringe. I don't think about it long. I get out of that thought and go to a happy place. I don't know where one is. There are better places than others. Well, anyway, okay. Verse 14. Let's continue his conversation or his writing to these Thessalonian believers. He says, to which He called you by our gospel. It's the good news that God uses to call people to Him. He says, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so to which He called you by our gospel. A standing invitation from God to any who will come to Him. But it is more than an invitation. It is an urgent call to a serious faith. God is saying, listen, this is not like you're being invited over to dinner. You're being invited to share eternity with Me. You take that or you leave that. But this is the invitation. God always, without exception, is the initiator of salvation. You cannot stumble into salvation. It is the role of the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us, to begin to woo us and excite us and turn us onto thoughts and ideas about God, get our attention. I would never have known salvation had Jesus Christ not invited me. But the invitation stands. You say, well, what about the people who've never heard of Him, who've already died? God will do the right thing without exception. There is no wrong in Him. But He holds us accountable for what we know, what we have been exposed to. And saying, well, I can't understand all this because what about the people who never have? God will say, what does that have to do with you and me? I'm talking to you right now. And for that, you will be judged. You can make it a good thing or you can make it a bad thing. Choose to make it good. And so, by the gospel message, God calls people. And He uses us to do it. He uses people, Christians, to do it. And after the call is made, the choice has to be submitted. The kingdom of self or the kingdom of God? Which will it be? Revelation 27. We all know this, we who are born again. The Spirit and the Bride, that is the Holy Spirit and the church. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. For whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. It doesn't need to be complicated. I don't need a self-proclaimed genius to come and tell me what that means. You know, a lot of people who are in the seminaries and come out of the seminaries, they forget about the people who are illiterate. People who don't have time to think of these things. Perhaps they're on their deathbed. They can't sort through theological discussions at that time. They need the gospel. So many of these programs that people buy, these junk books and guides that go with them, you know, try that stuff in Calcutta. Try to see if it works in parts of Brazil. I mean, they're just, it's just not. Listen, Harry Ironside said this: if it is new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. It's the Word of God. It lives and abides forever. That's what Jeremiah was saying when he said, to follow the old paths. Go in them. We'll get to that verse in a little bit. Getting ahead of myself. For the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember telling my brother when he was trying to preach the gospel to me. Listen, he did not succeed in saving me, but if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have been saved. God used him as an irritant, as God used him all his life in my life. But just that face, that look of love, how dare you love me? I'm your brother. And God used that to draw me, to call me. And I said to him, you think God has created us so we could live for him? How stupid I was. Because I thought, you know, you'd be running around harps and wings and gowns on, like all the other dingbat ideas about God that exist out there. Somewhere in my head, that was there. Nothing like that with God. God has so many exciting things planned for his people. Once we make it through this junk of a life, this sin-corrupted world, God has so much. That's why it's called glory. Glorification. It is a divine empowerment that awaits us. And where he says, for obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier, he reminded them, you're not appointed to wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next time someone says the church is going to go through the great tribulation period, take them to that verse and say, then what does that mean? And Paul will then go on to say, comfort one another with these words. How can you comfort someone if the wrath of God is going to be upon them? And so, glorification is what God has planned for us, because that is what he had planned for his son, that he might be predestined, not forced in advance, but scheduled to be like him. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. In other words, Jesus Christ is our leader. He leads the way. He went to the cross for us. He dealt with sin. We're going to follow that pattern. When we come to Christ, we confess our sins. We're at our personal cross confessing our sins. He rose again from the dead. Jesus said, you believe in me, you're not going to die. You're going to phase out of this life into the next one. It's going to be transition. And then, of course, he ascended into glory with his Father, and that's where we will be, world without end. That's what he says. I believe it. I find nothing to make me not believe it except Satan and the world. And I'm aware of them. And I'm aware of my own sinful nature. But God has not left me without the tools to go against it, the fortifications, to build the fortifications in Christ. Verse 15, he continues. He says, therefore, because of all these things, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Again, an epistle is a letter. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Now, this is the stand your ground part. Blessed assurance. It's the one thing Christians are afraid to have. Tell me I can't lose my salvation. Can you hear my knees knocking one against another? Stand fast in assurance. He said you're saved. Believe it. Enter into it. Do something with it. Running around, worrying, milling around. Am I going to lose it? You can't get anything done with panic-stricken people. Your theology is not supposed to be panic-stricken. It's supposed to be bold and robust, strong. It's not like I'm writing for coffee commercials or something. Blessed assurance keeps us from retreat. John, he finishes his first letter, he says, I've written these things to you, beloved, that you might know that you have eternal life. Now do something with that. Versus the one that is not sure about whether they have eternal life or not. Don't you love the agnostic? Again, the Latin for ignoramus. It is. I'm not making that up. You can look it up. I'm an agnostic. And, whenever Bible teachers use this, they always, you can't help it. A person says they're an agnostic as though they're boasting about some intellectual discovery when they're telling you they're an ignoramus, that they don't know anything about it. And we need to tell them that. You just boasted about being ignorant. Well, you don't have to stay that way. There's the knowledge of the holy. There's the knowledge of God. You think God created all these things, keeps them in place, keeps, the sun from burning up the earth and all the other things, keep this balance, but yet he doesn't care about you? This doesn't make any sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I love that. Stand your ground in Christ. In the second letter of Samuel, second book of Samuel, not a letter, a book, there is the story of Shammah. And the Philistines were coming, and there is this bean field that they were moving through. And Shammah, that's my bean field. And we pick it up, 2 Samuel 23, verse 11. "So the people fled from the Philistines." It's the enemies of God's people. "But he," Shammah, it's a name like a superhero, Shammah, "he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory." That's blessed assurance. That's standing your ground in the Lord. Well, our children, we shouldn't get, I don't want to say it that way. Let me put it this way. Some of you might buy them, superhero stuff, and they're like, how about our kids saying, "I'm Shammah, I'm David with my sling," I have Bible characters as our heroes. That would be ideal. I don't know if it would happen, but there you go. I've irritated someone, I'm sure. You say, no, you've done that long before you got to where you are now. It continues, "and hold." Now, the Greek word there for hold means to hold to, like arresting someone, or to keep control over something, to be master of. And so he's saying, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast, master the traditions." Okay, now we have to get into the traditions. He says, "the traditions which you were taught." Well, who taught them? Everything they knew about Jesus Christ came from the Apostle Paul and Jesus Christ himself, and from nowhere else. He did not spend much time with this Thessalonian church, and soon after leaving there, he writes to them. Less than a year had transpired, matter of months. And so what happens, of course, we tend to abuse this word traditions, and it's because there's so much history surrounding it. With human beings, we don't know what's tradition and what comes from the Lord. Listen to what Paul says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Well, that's where we get an understanding of what Paul means by his usage of this word traditions. He's not talking about denominations and their traditions, or peoples and their customs and cultures, or family this and that. There's nothing wrong with those things, so long as you don't put them in the place of God's word. Man-made rituals, you want to enjoy some of them, just don't use them as a means for salvation. Lighting a candle means nothing to God, except you just put some light in the room, 1 watt, 1 watt per candle. But it doesn't mean, ooh, he's closer to me now. Look at that candle. Is that vanilla fragrance? God doesn't do that. And yet there are people, they are fierce about this stuff. They'll stone you to death given the chance you come against their ritual and relics. You say, where did that ever happen? Jerusalem. They killed Jesus for coming. Paul, that was Stephen. What was the charge against him? He's changing the customs and the traditions of the fathers. And so the traditions use of the word in the New Testament has to do with the teachings of the apostles from Jesus Christ. And we're going to take a lot of verses for this. I hope you can stay with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed," and he goes on to give the communion message, "but I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That's what the apostles were left here, and they sealed this testimony in their blood.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue taking us verse by verse through the book of 2 Thessalonians the next time you join us. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue this insightful study through the book of 2 Thessalonians. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.